take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter 51. When you arrive there, find verse number 10. Psalm chapter 51. Look for verse number 10. I'll ask this. I'll ask that we keep the interruptions minimal. If you have an emergency and for some reason you must step out, make it as quietly and as uninterrupting as possible. Psalm 51, look at verse number 10. Stand with me, if you will. We're going to read a couple of scripture together here. Psalm chapter 51, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If you look back at me, David said here, renew a right spirit within me. When God talks about the spirit of man, to simplify that, if I may, if I were to ask you today what your spirit is like, I'm basically asking you what's your attitude like. Your spirit is much of what your attitude is. Your attitude would be your spirit about things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How's your attitude? Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now with thy presence. Take the time and God, expound in our minds and in our hearts the truth, and get a lot done in a short amount of time here today in this church service. Please give me the attention of the people. Holy Spirit, I think our minds, there's been a change with our clocks overnight. I think some are a little extra tired. I think we're adjusting to a new auditorium. But Father, the Word of God always has been, it always will be, and it is powerful enough to cut through maybe just a little haze in our minds and our thinking. So I pray, God, that you would do a supernatural work in our midst and help all of us to get a little attention to the attitude today. Help us to be better because we came to church, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Let me give you a background on a story that's taking place here that's the result of Psalm 51. This psalm was written after David had made a very, very tragic mistake with a gal by the name of Bathsheba. He had stole Uriah's wife, and the man named Uriah, who was married to Bathsheba, ends up being put to death by David. Bathsheba, this woman that David has an illegitimate relationship with, she ends up giving birth to a child that should have never happened. That baby only lived for a short time, and then that baby passed away. And here's what happened. Now you've got David. He's a powerful man. He's made the mistake with Bathsheba. Uriah's been put to death. The baby has died. All sorts of things have happened. And the man of God, the prophet named Nathan, reveals the depth of David's sin to David by telling him a story. And he gave David a hypothetical situation. So the man of God, named Nathan, is now going to talk to David, and he tells this story to David. He said, David, there was a poor man, and he had one lamb. And this rich man takes and eats the poor man's lamb. And David got mad, and David said, I can't believe that rich man took that poor man's lamb and treated him that way. Well, David says, that man ought to be put to death, that rich man that treated that poor man like that. Well, Nathan, the man of God, said, David, I'm talking about you. And that's because David had taken another man's wife, and Nathan was just explaining it in such a way that David could get a grasp on what David had done wrong. And David messed up, and David's life is kind of, it's spiraling at that point in his life out of control. Now, what happened? Well, I promise you what happened before David started making those mistakes, before David took another man's wife, before David killed another man, before David is lying and being hurtful and harmful, his attitude became bad. You know, before we start seeing our bad actions on the outside, there's something going on the inside. It eventually works its way out. But David had an attitude that was going sour before we started seeing all these outrageous events on the outside. And that's where we come in with Psalm 51, verse 12. David says to God, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now, David, this does not say, God, give me back my salvation, because David had not lost his salvation, but he had lost his joy in his salvation. And he makes this statement also in Psalm 51:10. He said, "Renew a right spirit within me." Now, let me explain something here. David said, somewhere along the way, my spirit got bad. Now I need my spirit fixed up. He said, "God, get my spirit back to where my spirit was originally." See, I think that all the mess that David got himself into was an outward reflection of an inward attitude that had been stewing with David. And that attitude worked its way from the inside to the outside. And the next thing you know, David is making mistake after mistake after mistake. And when David is finally now trying to get right with God at the conclusion of the mess that he's made, he said, "Oh God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And he said, "Renew a right spirit within me." David said, I noticed something. I developed a bad attitude. And that bad attitude got me into trouble. I'm going to tell on myself. I love working in my yard. I enjoy doing that. And I enjoy cleaning my yard up. And boy, it was just a few weeks ago. And I decided, boy, I'm saving a morning and it's going to be just right. And I'm going to go out and clean up my yard. And I woke up and I was excited to go out and do it. I've got a blower to help me blow those pine needles. And the pine needles and I, we are friends as long as my blower's working well. And so I went out and I know exactly how many times to push the primer button on my blower and how to exactly where to put the choke, that little butterfly dude on my choke. And I went out and I started that thing up and I got to blowing off the pine needles. And I use a bagger mower because I like getting all that stuff picked up. And when I got done, I'm telling you, I was so pleased. It looked like a golf course out there. And I thought, that's nice. That's the way I like it. And so I went about my day, and a storm came in the night, and I got up the next morning, and those stupid pine needles were everywhere, and it messed up my yard. And I got to tell you something, on day one, I was so happy about cleaning my yard up, but on day two, we didn't even get through a 24-hour period, and those enemies of mine, those pine needles, were everywhere. And I have to tell you, I thought, oh, and I went for my blower, and I had an attitude. I had an attitude. I grabbed that thing, and had it been a human being, I would have been reported to the police for abusing it. I grabbed that thing, and instead of pushing, you know, there's a little bulb that I can prime my carburetor with, and if I push it just the right number of times and hold my mouth right, everything works out fine. I was mad. I'm pushing that thing and, you know, I'm flipping the choke around and I'm yanking on it. I couldn't get it started. And the more I yanked, I thought I'll give it more gas. And, you know, so I'm squeezing that thing. And finally I took, and it's got a big long nose on it that I used to aim. I threw that thing and I walked away. I couldn't get the thing started. And I decided, that's it. They can stay in my yard today. On day one, I had a good attitude. On day two, I had a terrible attitude. On day three, I got up and I had a good attitude again. I said, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to clean my yard. I'm going to enjoy it. And I went out. I pushed that little primer bulb just the right number of times. I held my mouth right. I was happy about it. I pulled that cord and she fired right up. I'll promise you, folks, I complicated my life because of my attitude. There's a couple different ways of changing a flat tire. You can make things better or you can make things worse. And we do that to ourselves. You know, it was the very same blower. It had the very same fuel in it. If I would have just, if I would have had the right attitude, things would have gone so much better. And, you know, our attitudes or our spirits, they have a lot to do with maybe our happiness in life, and have a lot to do with how we see the occurrences in a day. Now, if you stay with me for a little while, I want to talk to you. I want you to answer the question, how's your attitude? Folks, let me tell you, first of all, that a good attitude can actually keep you from sin. It can keep you from sin. You know, I believe that David's bad attitude led David into sin. Somewhere along the way, David let something or someone tamper with his attitude. Long before David took Bathsheba to himself, his attitude had changed or worsened. Long before David murdered Uriah, something had tampered with David's attitude. Long before David developed his evil plot, David's attitude had changed. Folks, you know, as a spiritual leader, I see people's attitudes change, and I realize, I say, you know what? I see her attitude, I see his attitude, and I see it's going down the wrong path. And if they don't revive that attitude, they're going to mess themselves up. And virtually, they can self-destruct a part of their life because of their attitude. You say, well, preacher, what makes you think that David slipped in his attitude? Well, let me tell you what makes me think that. Do you remember back in the Bible when David's attitude was so wonderful when Saul was trying to kill him? Saul was a king and he was jealous over David, and Saul vowed that he would kill David. But David's spirit was so good, his attitude was so good, he was loving and respectful and kind. And David at one point's hiding in a cave, and Saul is in that cave, and David could have killed Saul, but David said, nah, I'm not going to kill that guy. I'm not going to do anything. That's God's anointed. But David could have done that. I'm going to tell you something. When Saul was chasing David and would have killed David, but David had his attitude under control. David said, I won't hurt Saul. I'm going to say if I may. David had a real good attitude at that point. But he had a great attitude at that point. I remember this. I remember when David's son in the Bible, his son Absalom, rebelled against David. David was king, and his own son tries to overthrow David's throne, and his son was going to overthrow his own dad. But David's attitude was right. And rather than fight his own son, David flees out of the city. David's attitude protected David, and David had a patience, he had a kindness, and he had a goodness about him at that point. But I'm going to promise you something. The attitude that David had when he had Uriah killed was not the same attitude that David had when Absalom rebelled against him. And the attitude that David had when he made the mess with Bathsheba is not the same attitude that David had when Saul was out to get him and David said, I'm not going to practice revenge. Something happened to David's attitude. I'm going to promise you something. You need to watch your attitude, because your attitude may launch you into doing things that you'll regret, and your attitude may launch you into hurting people and doing things that you should never do. Hey, how's your attitude toward the preaching? Now, I know you're here, but that really doesn't tell me your attitude. How's your attitude while you're here? What's your attitude toward the preaching? How's your attitude toward your Christian brothers? How's your attitude toward the leaders that God puts in your life? How's your attitude toward church? And what's your attitude toward the ministry? And what's your attitude toward the Bible? Folks, I just got to tell you, watch your attitude. Because if that attitude that builds inside you has a way of working its way to the outside of you, and David, I believe, got an attitude on the inside that brought a behavior on the outside that messed up his testimony. He kills a man, he lies, he makes a mess of his kingdom, and it all started with his attitude on the inside. Oh my. Let me tell you something. People divorce in their hearts long before they divorce on paper. Long before. It starts with an attitude. It's an attitude on the inside. And people say, well, you know, and let me warn you, what's going on the inside of you is important. Now, I think we ought to obey on the outside, whether we like it on the inside or not, but let me warn you, what goes on the inside of you is still important. And I think if we will watch our attitudes, we are less apt to sin against God, because when David's attitude was right, David was not out killing people, and David was not out for revenge, and David was not out making a moral mess in his life. But not only that, I think a good attitude will lead you to success. In Daniel chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel." That verse right there is about Daniel. Now, in this verse, it lists some of Daniel's superior attributes. But at the very top of the list, the Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. You say, what does that mean? He had an excellent attitude. He had an excellent attitude. The Bible says in Daniel 6:3, it mentions that he had an excellent spirit. And I think this, because of an excellent spirit, the Bible says, listen to this, it says, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Here's what happened. Daniel was a captive. But Daniel had an excellent spirit, and he ends up getting promoted in that country where he's now living as a captive. What got him the promotion? His good attitude. His good attitude. I can tell you why some of you don't get promoted in life. You have a bad attitude. I know we don't like to hear that. But hey, look, God doesn't have to promote you if you have a bad attitude, and your boss doesn't have to promote you if you have a bad attitude. You say, I play on a sports team, but the other guys get the good positions. I'm as good of an athlete as they are. Maybe so. But how's your attitude? Your attitude, it has bearing on promotion in life, whether you like it or not. Look, there's two ways of getting pulled over with a police officer. What do you do when you get pulled over? Check your attitude real quick, baby. If you never call anybody sir, it's time to pull the word out. Slap your Bible on the dash. If I was you, I'd get my attitude in check. You say, well, what's going to make the difference? It could make the difference between a ticket and a warning. Attitude. Attitude has something to do with our success. In the Bible, two of the most outstanding men listed are David and Daniel, and both are known of men with great attitudes. Daniel started at the bottom of captivity and worked his way to the top, and the thing they said about him is, you've got an excellent spirit or an excellent attitude. Listen, many people in this room, you have some wonderful abilities, but you have a less than wonderful attitude. So you limit yourself. When Daniel was a slave in a foreign country, he still had a great attitude. You say, I hate my job. Let me tell you a good way out of it. Get a good attitude. Get a good attitude. Some have great aptitudes, but terrible attitudes. Success is not just based on what you know, but sometimes success is based on how you use what you know, and what kind of spirit or attitude you have with what you know. Hey, look, if you have a bad spirit, you can hope somebody around you has a good spirit to balance you out. Look, Daniel was taken captive, but you know what Daniel did? Daniel forgave. Daniel wasn't vengeful. Daniel promoted his way to the top and to freedom in captivity. You say, how? Attitude. By attitude. There are many people in here. You may have an equal potential. You may have an equal education with somebody else, but they're doing better than you. Why? Attitude. Your attitude. And so, I said, first of all, guard your attitude. It could keep you away from sin. And guard your attitude. Why? Because a good attitude can lead you to success, but only that. I think a good attitude makes you like Jesus Christ. It makes you like Christ. Folks, I hope you all know, we're supposed to be Christians. We're to be like Jesus. We're to have the attitudes of Jesus Christ. We call them, you've heard in the New Testament, they call them the Beatitudes. Somebody said to me, what in the world are the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are attitudes that ought to be. That's what they are. And after who am I to pattern my attitude? Now, if I were you, I'd be careful patterning your attitude after me. And I should probably be careful patterning my attitude after you. But if we will pattern our attitude after Jesus Christ, hey, we will succeed. Hey, we will stay away from sin. Do you know Jesus had a perfect attitude and he never sinned? And Jesus had a perfect attitude, and he is the most successful in the universe. And so, if I can get this attitude thing down. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40, it says, speaking of Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. That is not a capital S spirit, as in Holy Spirit. That is a small S spirit, as in his spirit or his attitude. So, we, you and I, we are to grow our spirits. What's that talk about? Grow your attitude. You're supposed to get your attitude on track, and you're to contribute to make it better and better. And your attitude should be growing to be more and more like the attitude of Christ. Jesus had an excellent attitude. Jesus had a pleasant attitude. Jesus had a strong attitude. Jesus had a loving attitude and a meek attitude. And he had a humble attitude. Jesus had his attitude under control. Jesus had a tender attitude and a fervent attitude and a loving attitude. Jesus had an understanding attitude. And you say, what makes you say all this? I looked every time in the Bible and found out that it referred to Jesus Christ and his spirit in every one of these ways. Jesus had a patient spirit or attitude. Jesus had a predictable attitude. He had a faithful attitude. He had a gentle attitude. He had a forgiving attitude. He had a good attitude. He had a submissive attitude. You and I are to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. He did not have a hasty attitude. He did not have a hateful attitude. He did not have a filthy attitude. He did not have a vengeful attitude or a jealous or an arrogant or an evil attitude. He did not have a judgmental attitude. He didn't have a slumbering attitude or a critical attitude. He didn't have a wounded attitude. Hey, to be like Jesus, you've got to develop his attitude. Now get this for me. You are to develop, everybody in here, we're to believe the Bible the right way. Now, so you understand, we would call that the doctrine of the Bible. You and I ought to develop our understanding of the Bible, and we ought to believe the doctrines of the Bible. But I got to tell you something. One of the things, I know all sorts of people that have very good doctrine, but they got terrible attitudes. Terrible attitudes. Now, I want to stand for the right thing, but we have got to learn to stand for the right thing with the right attitude. To be like Jesus, we're to hate sin. Now, folks, I got to tell you something, and Brother Hart, I'll see if I can get this little jewel to come on for me. I think you and I are to hate sin. Now, don't you get it wrong. Don't you get to thinking that because God is love, that God loves sin. Because God hates sin. And I'm to hate sin, and you're to hate sin, but wait a minute, we're not to hate people. That's where we get mixed up. I'm going to preach against sin, and I'm going to tell you the difference between right and wrong. But I am not to be angry at you. I'm to be angry at the devil. I'm not to hate you. I'm to hate the devil. I'm to hate sin. And so I believe that Jesus hated sin. I think he hated it. But I think Jesus loved the sinner. Case in point, he saved me. And if he saved you, he loved the sinner, he hated the sin, he had a good attitude about this whole thing. You know, I know all sorts of people that they hate the sin and the sinner. I don't believe churches help people that way. Now, I don't believe churches help people when they don't hate sin. I think there are some people, I think there are churches that love people and they love the sin. Do what you want. Act the way you want. Live the way you want. It's all good. God just loves it all. Phooey! God doesn't love it all. God hates sin. God hates sin. But God loves people. And if a church is going to have the right attitude, a church has to learn to say, that's wrong, it's sin, and you take a stand. But at the same time, you say, but we will love you, and we will help you, and we know the devil has attacked you, and we know you've made a mistake. We'll help you up, and we're going to try to help you to have a successful life. But wait a minute, we still hate sin. We're not going to throw out our hatred for sin because we're making an effort to love people, but we are going to have a good attitude about the sin and the sinner. Hey, folks, separation from the world is an important part of the Christian life. Some of you need to understand. Hey, there's some people in here, you're very good at separation from the world, but your attitude about separation is bad. You know, we're to separate. We're not to be like the world. We're to be different. Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. That makes us different. So, we separate from the world, and we're going to be different than the world. We might not practice their entertainments, and we might not do the things that they do. But I want you to be very, very careful. You're to separate from the world, and you're to be different. But you're not to be hateful toward people that have not grown to the point where they separate. You know, you're not the one that dreamed up the separation issues. God did. That's not something that's new. That's not something that you don't have the corner on the market of separation. God does. And God said, I want you to live right. I want you to separate from the world, but I want you to be good to people and pleasant, and I want you to get along with people. Now, look, to be like Jesus, you've got to have a good attitude. See, first of all, I said, I believe a good attitude can keep us from sin. David messed up. Long before David was with Bathsheba, killed Uriah, and made a mess of things, his spirit changed. His attitude changed. But not only do we keep ourselves from sin, I think that a good attitude leads us to success because we see that Daniel and David both were men of an excellent spirit, and they were promoted because of their attitude. But only that. To be like Jesus, you've got to work on your attitude. There are people in here. You believe right, but you have a rank attitude. You don't believe how often I'll be counseling two people that are having a hard time getting along. And you know, one of them is right, and the other one is wrong. But the one that's right has such a terrible attitude along with their right, it makes them look wronger than what they are. Is wronger a word? Well, it is now. You know what I want to do? And I've got to grow. We're to grow in our attitude, and I've got to grow me. You know what I want? I want to learn to be right in what I believe, and I want to learn to how to handle the right that I believe the right way. Parents, let me help you. Here we talk about our kids and their attitude. And young people, you probably needed somebody to remind you of your attitude when they use that word. But at the same time, parents, did you know you can be right, but even a parent can have a wrong attitude about their right? Well, maybe not. Hey, you're a boss. Did you know that you may be right? You're the boss. You have employees. People work under you. You administrate someone. You could be right, and you can still have a wrong attitude while you have a right stance. I think God is right in the right way. Not only that, though, I believe that a good attitude will give you, it builds, I think, your self-control. I think it builds your character. Listen to this. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. There, God's talking about, look, it teaches proof of your strength is controlling your attitude. I think the greatest hero of all is not someone who can beat everybody up. I think the greatest hero of all is somebody who can control themselves. They control their attitude. There are many generals who have had great victories over cities across this world. How would you like to be stronger than a general Dwight D. Eisenhower? You say, how could I? According to that scripture,
If you can control your attitude, you can be stronger than a general that could take a city. What's your biggest challenge in life? Your biggest challenge in life is not you controlling me or me controlling you. Your biggest challenge in life is not you controlling your son or you controlling your daughter or you controlling your wife or you controlling your husband or you controlling your employee. Your biggest challenge in life is you controlling you. Your biggest problem in life is you. You want to blame everybody for everything? You know, you need to take a good long look at yourself in the mirror someday and say, you know what? Me and God are going to get you under control. Because if you could get your attitude under control, you could deal so much better with everybody else who seems to be all those people, have all those attitude problems, and here you are trying to monitor it all and take care of it all. You just got your hands full. You've got it together, but all those stupid people, we got our hands full taking care of ourselves. If you want to show strength in life, you get you under control. You control your attitude. You say, but she, oh my. How about but you? Well, I wouldn't have if they wouldn't have. Oh, you big baby. And we live in such a society where nobody wants to tell you the difference between right and wrong. You know, you're supposed to do right no matter what your husband does, and you're supposed to do right no matter what your wife does, and you're supposed to do right no matter what your brother did, or no matter what your sister did, or no matter what your friend did. You do right. You do right. If you want to show your strength, get your attitude under control. You know, many very capable people in history and in the history of the New Testament, they could have helped the church, but they hurt it because they had a good position, but they had a terrible disposition. Listen, did you know that having big muscles and a bad attitude is really weakness? Big muscles, bad attitude, weakness. Oh, I can dominate you. Yeah, but you can't dominate you, sucker. You're a wimp. You can't get you under control. You can't get you up in the morning. You can't tell you to shut your mouth. You can't tell you to do what's right. You can bully everybody else, but you can't control you. You got an attitude problem. That's rough, isn't it? And I don't even have a joke right here, because usually I'll pop one in and then everybody relaxes a little bit. Hey. I think a good attitude makes a big difference. Folks, listen. Physical strength won't make a difference when temptation comes. Your attitude will. Your education won't make a difference when temptation comes. But your attitude will. Your ability to make money won't make a difference when temptation comes. But the right attitude will. Samson was physically strong. Samson was a powerhouse, taken down by a woman. Where'd it come from? Inside. Think about it. David could kill a Goliath, but he couldn't handle a Bathsheba. Where'd that come from? Inside of him. Inside of him. He was weak on the inside. Folks, strengthen your attitude for Jesus Christ. A good attitude, it's glorifying to God. You know, I have to tell you something. I've been around some really great Christian leaders. I'm talking about really, by name, some of the powerhouses in the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement for years. I'll tell you something I learned. They always, strong men, great attitudes. Just great attitudes. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore I glorify God in your body and in your spirit." What's that spirit? That's your attitude. You're to glorify God with your attitude. The question is, young people, when mom and dad are questioning your attitude, here's what's even bigger than that. At that moment, is God pleased with your attitude? Is God pleased? Husband and wife, you question one another's attitudes. What's really a big deal is God pleased? Is God pleased? Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is glorified because of your physical beauty, ladies. Nowhere. Get it? Nowhere, lady. And we make such a big deal about the physical attributes and how beautiful women are. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is glorified because a woman makes herself out to be beautiful. But all the way through the Bible, he said, you're beautiful if you can control your attitude. Your attitude. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is glorified because you've got big muscles. And I do. Oh, but all the way through the Bible it says God is glorified if you can control yourself. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is glorified because of your IQ. And I'm for you getting an education. But nowhere does it say that God is glorified because you're brilliant. It's funny. Some of the most brilliant people I've ever met can't control themselves. So what use did the education do you? Get your attitude under control. And it's something that starts on the inside. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is glorified by how big your bank account is. But God is glorified when you've got the right attitude. The question is, and I'm finished, how's your attitude? How's your attitude? If everybody in our church had an identical attitude to yours, what would the spirit or what would the attitude of our church be? You know what I'd really like? I'd like people to look at our church and say, you know, they've got a good attitude. Now, understand, we're going to hate sin. And you ever come see me, I'm not afraid to tell you the difference between right and wrong. Now, I'll help you. And I won't become your enemy. And I'll try to strengthen you. Now, I can't give up the right and wrong. That's not my choice. But I do have a choice about how I treat you. Because I don't have the corner on the market in right and wrong anyway. If I really told you the difference between right and wrong, that came from God. That wasn't mine. I'm just a representative. And I ought to have a pretty good attitude toward one sinner because I'm a sinner. And you know what? That attitude will take you a long way in life. David said, renew a right spirit within me. I promise you, sitting in our midst, there are people. You have a bad attitude about church. There's probably somebody sitting here, you have a bad attitude about me. And you shouldn't have, because to know me is to love me. But I got to tell you something. That bad attitude, it starts on the inside, it'll creep out, and it'll mess you up. It'll mess you up. David knew that his spirit was bad. That's why David said, he said to God, he said, give me back my joy. He said, renew my spirit. What was he talking about? David said, I used to have a good attitude. My attitude got off track, and I've got to adjust my attitude. God help me with my attitude. Do you need a little attitude adjustment? If so, let God help you with it. Take a look at it and work on your attitude. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, there's the key to helping you to have a pleasant attitude. You get Jesus on the inside. He then can help your attitude in ways you never dreamed. But if you're not saved, you're really going to continuously struggle with your attitude. You will. Salvation is the biggest attitude adjuster you could ever have. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask the question, first of all, if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, I don't know that. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. Will you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. And you may put your hand down. Here's what's going to happen. In a minute, we'll have an altar call. If you're unsaved and you'd like to be saved, we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again.